Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you to not only defend the historic Christian faith, but become an apprentice of Jesus Christ, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. And via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I've been talking all this month about the power of prayer. There's a cross that I'd love for you to put on your bathroom mirror or someplace where you face this prayer every single day. O Lord and Master of my life, give me not a spirit of sloth, idle curiosity, love of power, and useless chatter. Rather, accord to me, your servant, a spirit of chastity, humility, patience, and love. Yes, O Lord and King, grant that I may see my own faults and not condemn my brother. For you are blessed unto ages of ages. Amen. Again, the famed prayer of St. Ephraim that I pray each and every morning, along with, of course, the Lord's Prayer, or what I like to call the Prayer of Jesus. And I've been pointing out that this prayer is actually divided into two parts. The first part is focused on God's glory, and the second on our needs. And I think I've explicated what's going on with the first part. The second part starts out when we pray, give us today our daily bread. Of course, as God dwells within us, as he fills us with his life and nature, so too he provides all that is necessary for the sustenance of our physical bodies. And so when we ask our Heavenly Father to give us today our daily bread, we are praying in plural. Not only are we praying for our own needs, the needs of our immediate family, but we are praying for the needs of our extended family as well. So we're not praying as mere rugged individualists, but we're praying as members of a community of faith, members of the body of Christ. All you and I need to do is turn on our television sets, and we can immediately discern that our sisters and our brothers around the world suffer daily from maladies ranging from drought to deadly diseases. And yet all too quickly, those images fade before the next commercial interruption. And that's why I remind people from time to time of Luke chapter 12, where Jesus tells the story of a man who was richly blessed, but a man whose priorities were out of whack. His rhetoric was laced with self-interest. My grain, my goods, my. Now, there was nothing wrong with how he had gained his wealth. There wasn't even a hint of impropriety. The problem was that he had purposed in his heart to take life easy, to eat and drink and be merry. And in that process, he had become decidedly insensitive to the needs of others. And so the condemnation of our Lord was downright chilling. I'm sure you remember the words. Jesus said, "You fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you." I think the point here is that it is a grace to live with eternity in mind. to be reminded that the bread we partake of, like the bread we dispense to those who are hungry, is symbolic of the bread of life. A reminder that we who partake of the divine nature will in eternity sit at an eternal banquet table with the very one who is the bread of life. My son David, just today, my oldest son, sent me a quote from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, and I want to make that the quote of the day. This is a riveting quote in which Solzhenitsyn says, "Bless you, prison. Bless you for being in my life. For there, lying upon the rotting prison straw, I came to realize that the object of life is not prosperity as we are made to believe, but the maturity of the human soul." What an incredible quote. If we could but get that into our heads, I think our lives would be forever revolutionized. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Joseph. He's listening in Bidwell, Ohio on the web. Hi, Joseph.
Hi, Hank. I wanted to ask something. There's a guy, they still air some of his stuff on shortwave, but he's been dead for 8 or so years. His name is Pastor Peter J. Peters. He was the pastor of the LaPorte Church of Christ. Do you know who this guy is, and which Church of Christ branch is this?
It is decidedly cultic branch, because this was a guy that trafficked in conspiracy theories, you know, theories that you can't falsify, but he was also an overt racism. I remember him once talking about how if his children married someone from another race, that they ought never to come around his house with their half-breed children or their mate because they've been traitors. So he was a racist. He was a conspiracy theorist. And I can't think of a more horrible kind of person that uses a pulpit to spread this kind of horrendous evil.
Well, this sounds like Anglo-Israelism, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it is. It absolutely is. He was a proponent of Anglo-Israelism, that the white Europeans descended from the lost tribes of Israel. And he was an influential Christian identity movement a proponent as well, and the Church of Christ that he was part of was an independent church, not associated with the Churches of Christ.
Oh, so it wasn't the international, because I'm sure a lot of Church of Christ people would not embrace him as their own.
No, and I think this is one of the things you have to be very careful about, and that is the moniker Church of Christ or Churches of Christ is a broad umbrella, and there are all kinds of churches under that umbrella, ranging from churches that are very, very stable, teaching the essentials of the historic Christian faith, to churches that are on the cultic fringe or on the lunatic fringe, as in this case.
Yeah, well, I was just wondering, because when I heard this guy on the radio, I was like, this sounds like British Israelism, the same thing that Herbert Armstrong taught. I mean, it sounded dangerous.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right, and I think that's a good correlation. It is dangerous, and you know, the great thing about Herbert W. Armstrong is that after he died, those that succeeded him didn't follow in his train. One of my good friends, Joseph DeKotch, became Pastor General of the Worldwide Church of God. And in the Christian Research newsletter and in the Christian Research Journal, he talked about his trek from cultism to Christ, and he really took it on the chin. He was willing to put it all on the line because he had met the authentic Christ, and he was willing to give up all trappings of cultism.
Well, I'm glad you answered that question, Hank. So this pastor, Peter J. Peters, wasn't some small figure. People knew who he was.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he was huge, but obviously he had an impact and continues to have an impact on the web. That's one of the things. I mean, he's been dead, for, as you said, for 7-8 years or something like that. But his message of hate and racism continues to percolate on the web.
Well, thank you so much, Hank.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. We'll be going to a station break, coming back from the station break with more answers to your questions. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. And again, my deepest thanks to those who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. I almost don't like asking people to give to the ministry, but I do want to thank people that are giving to the ministry. And if you want to be one that is blessed and blessing others, you can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. We'll be right back with more.
The way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray was so transformational in Hank Hanegraaff's personal prayer life that it motivated him to write The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God. Rather than a technique by which we can get God to meet our perceived needs, the prayer of Jesus is the secret to attaining a level of intimacy with the lover of our souls we may never before have imagined. To receive your copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. The problem with same-sex attraction conversion therapy is the way it is defined and presented, sometimes inaccurately, sometimes dishonestly. And like other forms of counseling, some of its practitioners have erred grievously, but that hardly calls for an end to sound versions of the practice itself. Other topics include history's bloody mess, why Marxism and socialism always fail, should Christians participate in boycotts, Athanasius, a C.S. Lewis of the early church, honoring dishonorable parents, the historicity of Moses, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. What are the secrets to real intimacy with God? In The Prayer of Jesus, Hank Hanegraaff will help you understand the mystery of prayer by delving into the prayer of the one who is the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ, to learn Jesus' sevenfold secret of prayer as found in his own words. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it revolutionized their lives. You too can revolutionize your prayer life by learning to pray as Jesus prayed, to experience even deeper union with God. The Prayer of Jesus is the secret to attaining a level of intimacy with the lover of your soul you may never before have imagined. To receive your copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I haven't done this in a while. A YouTube question. This question comes from Joe. I thought it was a good question. We'll answer it on air. Joe writes, I have a Hindu friend who says that his faith in Vishnu is also a state of trust grounded in reason. Now, he obviously thinks that his faith is correct, just as you think your faith is correct. So how is someone going to tell the difference between the faith that you profess and the faith that my friend professes? Is there a way to tell which faith is correct? I think the answer to that question is absolutely. You know, if you think about Hinduism, the first thing that ought to come into your mind is their fixation on reincarnation. In other words, for a Hindu, the hope is the transmigration of the soul. But that isn't based in reason. That's a Hindu fantasy. Conversely, as a Christian, I believe in resurrection. I believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, I don't believe that through blind faith. Rather, I believe that as a result of faith rooted in a refutable fact. And my go-to is always the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, because there he gives a four-part argument for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He begins by saying, Christ died for our sins. In other words, he begins by saying Jesus Christ suffered fatal torment. If there wasn't a death, there wouldn't be a resurrection. Now, that point is largely conceded. The second thing, says Paul, is that Christ was buried. Not only buried, but he was buried in an identifiable tomb, and that tomb was empty. Christianity simply cannot survive an identifiable tomb containing the corpse of Jesus Christ. The third thing, says Paul, is that Christ appeared and he gave many convincing proofs that he had indeed risen from the dead. And finally, he talks about transformation, not only transformation of others, but his own transformation. He gave up a posh position, to say the least, in order to become a follower of Jesus Christ. And he ultimately paid the price of capital punishment for his decision. Persecution, ultimately death. Now, as I've said many times, it's conceivable that someone would die for what they firmly believe to be true, but inconceivable that millions like Paul would die for what they knew to be a lie. So again, my point is simply this. The Hindu scriptures are giving you an idea that's based on wild speculation. Christianity is rooted in history and evidence, and that's why we say how firm a foundation, you saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. So the idea, as the Hindus say, that all of reality is a continuum or simplified whole, there's no real distinction between morals and mice, is simply untrue. The goal of human liberation in Hinduism is liberation from reincarnation. The goal in Christianity is resurrection. The difference could not be more stark. I've written about Hinduism in my book, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. You can find it on the web at equip.org or write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Shane in Cold Lake, Alberta, Canada, listening on Sirius XM 131. Hi, Shane.
Hi, Hank. How are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I'm good. I just have a question about, I've I received this free book in the mail, and it's The Awesome Potential of Man, and it's from the Restored Church of God. And I was diving into it, and I just wanted to know your opinion on it. Like, does it have any credentials at all, or...
Well, it's not. It doesn't have any credibility, and it's kind of interesting that you would call today, because I was just answering a question about, some of the correlations between the identity movement of a person, Peter Peters, who's now deceased, and Armstrong, who's also deceased. But yeah, this is a book written by David Pack. He's the pastor general of the Restored Church of God. And they have a website which tells you that this is a movement committed to preserving and teaching everything that Armstrong taught. So if you want to know what David C. Pack is all about, all you have to know is what Herbert W. Armstrong's legacy was. Well, one of the things that comes to mind immediately as Herbert W. Armstrong taught his followers to deny the Trinity. Well, why do Christians believe in the Trinity? They believe in the Trinity because the Bible teaches that there's one God revealed in three persons, eternally distinct. It's not something they comprehend, but something they apprehend and therefore bow their knee before what Scripture teaches to them. And as I've said many times on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, if you have a Unitarian God, you have a God that is not worthy of worship. Reason being is, absent the universe, there's no one to love, and therefore you end up with a morally defective deity. Obviously, in his teachings, you have a denial of the personality of the precious Holy Spirit. And again, we know through Scripture that the Holy Spirit is not an it, is not a power. It is a personal being. The Holy Spirit is not it. The Holy Spirit is a personality. Herbert W. Armstrong, along with David C. Pack, denied the two natures of Christ. This is a huge, huge mistake, because the Bible clearly teaches us that Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. This was something not only taught in Scripture, but passed down through the ages and fought for in the ecumenical councils of the historic Christian church. And without both natures, not only would we not have a crystal Christ, the paragon of virtue, who is before all things, but we would have a Christ who could not sufficiently atone for the sins of humankind. He denied the sufficiency of Christ's atonement. He denied eternal conscious punishment. So Armstrong and Pack are set in opposition to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ clearly taught the reality of eternal conscious torment. In other words, Christ taught what it was like, using metaphor, what it would be like to be separated from the love and the goodness and the grace of God for all eternity. And so Jesus would say, using prophetic hyperbole, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off, throw it away. It's better for you to lose one part of your body than your whole body to be thrown into hell. So again, Jesus is pointing out how horrible it would be to choose to separate yourself from God's goodness and grace. And we already see that in this life. And Christ is saying, if you see that in this life, how much more horrendous to have this be an eternal verity in the life to come. And of course, as we've been talking about on the broadcast, he held to Anglo-Israelism. He required the Saturday Sabbath. It's very legalistic with respect to dietary foods and so forth. And so this is a man in a ministry that is not to be lauded but rejected.
Okay. Yeah, perfect. Thank you. Because I got into his book about 25 pages in, and I already felt that there was something wrong with this message. So I appreciate it.
You got it. And thank you so much for your call. Unfortunately, out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And remember, as always, Monday through Friday, the number to dial to get your questions answered live on air, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The resources that I talked about at the opening of the broadcast, the cross or the prayer of St. Ephraim, which I pray every single morning, not as a rote tradition, but a meaningful prayer to the Lord, as well as the Lord's Prayer, with its explication in its book, The Prayer of Jesus, available for those who support the ministry. If you already have the book, give it to somebody else as a gift. It was a number one bestseller. You can also access the book on the web, via the mail at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Thanks again for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth.
Thank you for joining us today. Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to defend the faith, answer Bible questions, and encourage Christians to watch their life and doctrine closely. To find resources to help equip you, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call us at 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
What are the secrets to real intimacy with God? In The Prayer of Jesus, Hank Hanegraaff will help you understand the mystery of prayer by delving into the prayer of the one who is the cornerstone of our faith, Jesus Christ, to learn Jesus' sevenfold secret of prayer as found in his own words. Jesus taught his disciples how to pray, and it revolutionized their lives. You too can revolutionize your prayer life by learning to pray as Jesus prayed, to experience even deeper union with God. The Prayer of Jesus is the secret to attaining a level of intimacy with the lover of your soul you may never before have imagined. To receive your copy of The Prayer of Jesus, Secrets to Real Intimacy with God, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.